Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a good Wednesday. We have just released season 4, episode 33. And I wanted to say thank you for waiting so very patiently for this episode. And I wanted to come on here to say that we have officially wrapped season 4. Kind of crazy. And what that means is the very next episode is going to be the last episode of Guildfellows ever. Kind of crazy, insane. It'll be the last, like, regular, like, story episode. We're going to have a season 4 wrap episode, as we always do. And then we're going to have a podcast, postmortem, wrap up, whatever. So, as you're hearing this, if you're in our Discord channel, our question channel will be open for both season 4 questions and podcast overall questions. I think we're probably going to like go season by season and just kind of reflect and see how far we've come and all this stuff. But take this as the opportunity to kind of, you know, talk to all of us as a unit for the last time, possibly. So, yeah, that's what we're gonna do. Which also means this is gonna be my last announcement, update, whatever thing ever, probably. So, yeah. I don't know. That's really all I kind of have to say. I'm a little behind on our social media pages, so I apologize for that. But, we'll get there. We'll catch up. And, yeah, next week's gonna be the very last story episode, season 4 finale, and then, I'm not 100% sure when the wrap-up episodes are gonna happen. They may not happen for a while, simply because a lot of us are busy, and we're just kind of working around our schedule. So they might not happen for a few weeks. We're gonna try to squeeze them in eventually. We're going to try to squeeze them in quick, but if they don't happen for a minute, then they won't happen for a minute, but they'll definitely at least come out this summer. I will make sure that happens. They'll come out as soon as I can wrangle everyone together. So, yeah, that's it. I think that's all I really want to say. I don't really need to go into the regular spiel that I do because I don't know. It's almost over. Yeah, thank you to Arcane Anthems for the theme song, as always. And thank you to everyone who has listened thus far. And we'll get into it more once those wrap-ups come out. But yeah, that's what I've got. Thank you for listening. That's all I've got for you guys today. We love you all so much. Keep your heads up. Stay safe. We love you. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Starfellows, your favorite D&D podcast in a galaxy far, far away. I'm your Dungeon Master, Rob, and with me, as always, are my friends, Hannah.
Hello from the pit.
Amelia Song.
It's literally always about the pit with you. Some of us are trying to kill the bad guys.
Well,
not
I would be
them.
Able to help you kill the bad guy if I were not falling in a pit right now.
You were supposed to destroy the pit, not join it.
The dark pit of pitness.
Joined also by Amelia Som, or Mills, and is also Brennan. Sorry, that was really anticlimactic. Yeah, we just like paused and said. Also joined by the magnificent, the the broad-shouldered, the well manicured Brennan.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. You're welcome. Thank you for joining us all.
This
has been a
chaotic intro to this episode, but
it's already been chaotic. Yes. Where we ended last episode, the party was in dire, dire straits. Akala had just been dropped over the pit underneath the Corpus Coruscanti that leads down to the very core of the planet Coruscant itself. El is preparing to face off on his last legs against Master Surotah, the corrupted dark side Cathar who has orchestrated the downfall, the siege, the utter ruin of the Power and Lights district. And Rama has been plucking away and dropping from above onto his nemesis, the Trandoshans.
Okay. But, I mean, my nemesis, who happen to be Trandoshan. It's just, it's not the fact that they're Trandoshan, except the cold-blooded part. Just
Brennan has confided to the DM on multiple occasions his deep and unabiding hatred for the Trandoshans.
that's a bit of oversimplification.
He told me it burns red hot like the flames of Mount Vesuvius.
That's so messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to out you like that, Brennan, but.
Wow, but I can't believe El is the only not evil person in this party. That's so crazy.
He's definitely the Chad.
Yeah.
I'm
taking Monkey in the divorce with Darkala.
You don't even like him that much.
Monkey just doesn't like it when his non-droid parents fight in front of him. It just makes him very uncomfortable. He doesn't want to take sides. He just wants to sip
some coffee. He's like, oh, these fucking humans.
He just wants to have some ice cream.
Yeah. This is all to say, you guys are in the middle of a pitched and heated battle for your lives and for the fate of Coruscant and the people above you in the Power and Lights District. There is lightning crashing around you as purple smoke swirls violently. With each step you take, you feel the crunch of the conjured force worms from Sue's crown squelch under your feet. There are several piles of bodies that have been sacrificed all to corrupt the massive Corpus Coruscanti Kyber Crystal, which is now turned a deep and inflamed red. At this point in the battle, Akala, you are falling. Now, this is how this is going to work. I've calculated it out, and the way I want to do this is based on real-world physics and falling speed. And to simplify the calculations, we know that per full round of combat, which is 6 seconds, you would fall 150 feet per round, provided that you did not do something too slow or otherwise prevent your fall. So, since Master Sue just dropped you, it is now your turn in the initiative order. So, you have the opportunity to use the tools at your disposal to try to save yourself from this pit. At this moment, you are mid-fall. So, while you are deciding, you can kind of imagine you're in bullet time.
No, I already know what I want to do. Let the record show that I am proposing this as soon as, humanly possible. This has been my first chance to speak. Can I roll a dexterity saving throw within to try to be able to cast a spell within the first 30 feet of the drop to teleport out?
Yes, you may. Okay.
Perfect. Amazing.
I'm not going to tell you what the DC is, but it's going to be high.
All right.
It's 20.
Well, right, now it's not. This.
That's a 19.
Hold up.
A 19.
Hold up.
A
19. Hold up. Can I get a heads up? Can I give her a heads up?
I think that the opportunity has passed to give her a heads up on her own fall.
How? I literally, the second she said 19, I started asking if I could give her a heads up. It's a reaction.
Well, because I'm thinking, in the actual mechanics of the game. What are you doing to help her? She was pulled from the other side of the pit, over the pit, and was dangling.
emotional support. Like, that's,
you know,
that's fine.
an exchange of sentences. You know, I think it's, I sympathize because I think that, like, had you brought this up earlier when, like, she was first grabbed and get the heads up, I think I would have been cool with it. I think that this is such, like, a split kind of decision moment that it does not save. A 19 does not save. So this is what happens. So you're
trying to get the fucking lawyer to DM last time ever.
That's my fault.
Jeez.
Rules allow us to actually play the game and tell the story. So as a self-admitted rules lawyer, I feel no remorse.
Rules lawyer, rules judge, and rules jury and executioner.
Yes.
Rules
this is not a rules democracy.
I love democracy.
To robocracy.
Sure is, honestly. I'm gonna copyright that. I'm gonna copyright that for sure.
No, you can't. I'm copywriting it. Too late. You can license it from me, though.
Yeah, you can license it from me. Yeah, in intellectual property.
I think as the judge,
I have very
jury
affordable rates.
I'm going to say no.
You have no power here. Not yet. You're not a lawyer yet. Not in the real world, Rob. You're not going into copyright law. We both know this.
Okay. Just going to take all of this, put it away for now. I will remember this ribbing momentarily. Aqua, you failed your dexterity saving throw. The force power that you were trying to use, I imagine, was phase walk? Is that correct?
Yeah, but since I failed, I don't have to use the force points, right, to cast that because I haven't actually casted it.
So I think that this is how I want to rule this. You are able to use this power to try to propel yourself 30 feet up as you are falling. In failing the dexterity saving throw, you are not then able to grab the ledge immediately. Okay. So you, like, reached up and, like, were able to, like, grip part of the ledge that was then slick, and so now you have started to, like, fall back again. So you have not saved yourself.
Okay. So phase walk is a bonus action. So this might just be an object interaction, actually. Can I use my leaf blade to, like, stick it in the wall to slow my fall or stop it completely?
That's an awesome idea. Make a strength check.
Yeah, that's strength check or saving throw. I guess it doesn't matter.
Check.
I'm gonna save
anyway.
Oh, that's a dirty 20.
A dirty 20.
21, yeah. 21.
Wow. So you are able to, yeah, so you, like, your initial hold on the ledge, like, slips and you start sliding down and you activate the like, wrist-mounted leaf blade and you figured out that, like, the mechanism has, like, a hydraulic, like, press kind of mechanic where it, like, shoots out quite forcefully. Yes. And so you're able to, like, punch into the wall and then you feel, like, your weight and, like, your pressure against the wall, like, to start to slow, but you're, like, grinding your blade into this, like, metal wall of this tunnel. And you are dangling by a thread. Going to say you're going to slide an additional, like, 15 feet down from the ledge. So you're not falling anymore, but you are, like, held stationary down there, and your position is precarious because you only have one point of contact into the wall. But otherwise, you're not falling to the center of the planet, which is an improvement.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Good, I'm very pleased by that. That was a great use of that tool. Love to see that. Rama, it is now your turn.
Okay, so there's one Trandoshan left, right?
Yes, to remind us all. So we started this fight with two Trandoshans, a dog creature named Massif, Oko, Valneem, and Sue. Oko is unconscious. Rama killed one of the Trandoshans by landing on his head after, like, jetpacking above him. And the other Trandoshan is fairly badly damaged and is over by where Akala was before she was pulled over to the pit. So to kind of give you the shape of this room again, like, it's a cylindrical room with a cylindrical pit in the center with the Corpus Coruscanti floating above it. Rama, right now, you're on the opposite side of the pit from L and Sue. And
how many
are
feet
kind
away?
Of like 15 feet away from from the edge of the pit that's closest to you, you're about 15 feet away.
Okay.
And then, like, from Sue and L, you are, like, 70 feet away.
Okay, cool. All right, in range. We love to see it. Okay, so I am going to the Trandoshan friend. I shot out his slug thrower, so now he has a sword, right? Like a viper sword?
Yep, a viper sword.
All right, well, let's see if I can hit him hard enough to make him drop it. So I'm going to fire twice with the hand cannon. That's an 18. And that's a 16 plus 8. It's a 24.
24 to hit the Trandoshan. That will do it. 18 will also hit.
All right, so let's get the dice out. Here we go. 5 is a 19 damage. 19 damage, and then plus disarming blow. That's a 5, so it's 24 damage.
24 damage, okay.
And then the DC 16 to not drop the weapon.
He gets plus 4 to strength. He rolled a 2 on the dice. I think when you're shooting him, he looks like he's in very bad shape, and that he's on his last legs. He has this green ichorous blood kind of pouring from his mouth. He's got several deep dents into his armor from previous bullet holes where
awesome.
You know, he has thick armor, and so when you're hitting him, like, a lot of the impact of the bullet is taken into the armor, but it still shreds his body as when they pass through. But he is leaking kind of ichorous blood. He was leaning on his vibro sword to stay up, but when you disarm him and shoot him, he stumbles forward and is very much staggering and seems very much unable to continue the fight for much longer. That being said, it is now that Trandoshan's turn. Unless you want to use your movement in any sort of way.
I don't want to go closer to the pit, so I'm gonna chill here. Is there any cover I can take?
No. Well, I mean, I guess you could actually there's a pile of corpses that you could hide behind. I will say you also have a friend dangling in the pit. I'm not sure if that factors into anything at all, but...
Well, I mean, I guess I could run up to it, but if I've already used my action to shoot... I don't want to run up to the pit and then stand there in case someone knocks me in.
Yeah, I would just simply not get knocked into the pit.
Oh, good, good.
Can you imagine falling in the pit?
Falling in the pit. I'm not going to get closer to the pit unless I can help, so I'm going to chill 15 feet away from it.
I mean, I don't know that you know that Akala, saved herself when she fell. I don't think you've, seen any of that, action that happened the previous turn.
I mean, unless he could hear, the rocks being, the with the...
Yeah, is that a perception check to see if I can tell Akala saved herself?
Perception check with disadvantage, because as I've described, this room is also filled with, swirling, lightning and, electricity and smoke and, I mean, the sounds of, your massive gunshots. As well, so let's,
That is a 10.
10 doesn't cut it, so I'm gonna say that you, did not hear any of the, scraping sounds of Akala punching her leaf-shaped blade into the metal side of the container.
Damn. Okay, I guess I'm just gonna yell, Akala! No! Just yell something like that.
Aw, damn. Fuck.
Just darn. No, not really. I'm probably just going to avoid yelling out or acknowledging it. I'm sure me yelling her name is not going to help her. And I think some part of me thinks that she survived last time we got separated. She can survive this time.
This is a completely different scenario than last time, but okay.
What am I going to do? I have a gun and a suit of armor.
No, I get it. I understand. I get
everyone acts real gangster until you only have 6 HP. And then it's ooh, hide behind the corpses.
No, I'm good.
Listen, Akala can handle herself. She always has.
Wait, you're right. You're right. You're totally right. I have a heavily damaged jetpack.
Yeah.
All right.
You have a jetpack.
Can I use that to jump? I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm going to die. Can I jump in after her?
Yeah, hell yeah, buddy. You can jump in after her.
Oh, all right. So my sputtering damage shot at jetpack, I'm going to power it up, then run after shooting the Trandoshan, just sprint toward the pit for 15 feet, jump off of it, and hopefully use my last 15 feet of motion to, I guess, slow my own fall with the jetpack. I don't know how far down she is, but...
Yeah, go ahead and make me a piloting check.
All right.
Oh, God. Oh. Don't get an on-1. Then we have to save you from the pit.
Piloting check to get close
to... I'm not going in that fucking pit. You die, you die.
You do have proficiency in piloting, right?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you fall, I don't know if anyone's going to save you right now.
That's not great on the die. That's a... What the hell happened?
You know the easiest way to save people from the pit is to kill the person who keeps throwing shit into the pit.
So, I would love to help you in your endeavor, but I do have to get out of the fucking pit first. That's the only thing. I'm in a pit right now.
That's a
really,
nine.
I hadn't noticed. Okay. You haven't mentioned this before.
So ladies, I rolled really ladies, poorly.
You're both in a pit. What do you
I
get?
I resent being called.
So lady. Here's the thing. I rolled a 9. So I rolled really poorly on the die, but I do have the ace pilot superiority die, so I can add that to the roll.
Okay.
3. So that's a 12.
Okay.
God. I hate this game. I hate this game so much.
I use...
These dice fucking suck.
I'm not saying I have to, like, go straight up to her and level out. I'm just trying to not fall. Using item that I have, am proficient in, and know how to use. That okay. only has one thing, which makes me go up.
Okay, so I hear you. So, A 13 12. Is going to be, or 12. A 12 is going to be good enough for you to not fall into the pit. So you do what you described. You shoot this Trandoshan, you dip behind this this pile of corpses, and then, knowing that Akala has fallen, run and dive down to the pit. Now, the way you described this is like you wanted to jump into the pit after her. So that's what I'm imagining you doing, is Rama like leaping into the pit and then starting his jetpack, like once you see where Akala is. Because you didn't roll all that high, you're a little bit later turning on your jetpack than you would have liked, so you actually like fell like about 15 feet below Akala even before you get the jetpack up and then are able to rise up a little bit. But now
I'm
you
coming,
are
Akala. Fuck.
But you are now under her by about I'm gonna say 10 feet. So like you kind of are like under her, like, and you can kind of spot her in a way and like be there in case she falls, but like you're not in range of her to like grab her and like take her up yet. Like, you know, you did to cross the field of zombies earlier.
This game, whenever you roll in something you're proficient in and then add your thing and it's still not good enough. How far into the pit am I total?
So total, you are 25 feet below the pit. Akala is 15 feet below the pit.
Awesome. Total. Well, I'm just going to hover here. I'm at like 80% fuel on this jetpack, by the way, but that's fine. Continue.
That's good. You guys are also like you don't have line of sight onto any of the combatants. So like for the moment, you're in an okay spot, but you do feel a slight tingle of electricity in this pit start to gather, and you feel like a little static.
Rob, this was suspenseful
around.
Before that. That was
Rob,
so
I'm going
unnecessary.
To fly back to Philadelphia and murder you if Akala dies in this pit.
This is so unnecessary.
It's Elle's turn.
Cool.
Oh my lord.
Akala's good at handling herself, and now Rama has a jetpack and is going in to help her, but I'm not even noticing anything. I'm not even looking in that direction. I'm looking at Sue, and I'm gonna fucking kill her. Okay. Oh. All last episode, all I wanted was a nat 20, and I didn't get one. I'm gonna do something that's probably not the best decision mechanically, but we're gonna do it. We're gonna hope on hope that I'm first doing falling. How close am I to Sue?
You are 15 feet away from her.
Oh, dope. Okay, so I can reduce my speed by half, which would give me 20 because I got 10 extra feet of movement. And I'm going to channel the force in order to gain advantage on this next attack I make on Sue. And I'm gonna try for something really good. It would be nice if I got a natural 20. Fuck. I did not get a natural 20. I don't think I even fucking hit. I hate this game so much. This game is dumb. It's bad.
Are you trying to make a lightsaber attack?
Yeah.
Okay. What did you roll?
13.
13.
There's no way 13 hits Sue, right? There's like no way.
No. Okay. 13 does not hit. So yeah, so you charge in with your double saber, and Sue, as you get closer, you see that like more and more of her fur seems to be molting off, and underneath it you can see like more and more like growing tendrils of the corruption from the crown streaking throughout her body. And you see that she is moving with what seems to be a supernaturally enhanced agility, and she is able to meet you blow for blow on your lightsaber, not giving ground, not gaining ground, but you guys are exchanging lightsaber attacks and parries as you duel underneath the kyber crystal.
Okay. Next attack. It doesn't hit. It's fine. It's not a natural one or anything, but it doesn't hit. It's fine. It's cool. It's cool. I'm being so cool and normal about this, actually. As a bonus action, I'm just gonna add 2 to my AC. It's fine. It's cool. It's great. I'm having a good time, Rob. I'm having so much fun.
I think someone's upset that someone else fell into a pit.
I'm gonna go in that pit. I'm gonna pull Akala out. I'm gonna throw her back in there.
Oh my god.
As you are having this lightsaber exchange with Sue,
she's just really good at lightsabers. Oh my god.
Her spluttering, like, dark, angry purple lightsaber meets yours, and she says to you, "You are all alone up here now, boy. Your friends are in the pit." And she keeps on battling. It is now her turn.
Sure.
With that lightsaber, she is going to make a series of attacks against you.
Yeah, of course. So
just need to do some good old-fashioned dice rolling. Okay, first one is a 16. Does that
misses.
Hit? 16 misses. Very good. And the other one comes out to a 20, so I imagine that hits.
Yeah, that hits.
So we're going to roll some damage dice. She is able to now go on the offensive against you, and with a series of fast and very like heavy overhand blows, she starts to drive you back. And even though that you have far more technical skill in this art, your day of trekking underneath the Power and Lights District and fighting many battles has left you weary, and the cacophony of lightning strikes and gunshots and the sounds of combat and death have left your senses somewhat dulled and weary, and you let your guard slip, and she's able to get a clean cut against you with her lightsaber, and you are repelled back slightly as she gets a cutting blow against you, and that'll be 7 damage.
Ah! Ha ha! That's so fun. Fuck.
Okay. Which now brings us back to Akala in the pit.
So, like, I don't know if I should just wait for Rama to, like, try to carry me back up, but I don't... I'm not gonna rely on that, so can I make an athletics check to try to climb my way up?
Yeah, I'm here to catch you if you fall in the meantime.
Okay,
if you were, like, a 5 on the get back up.
Yeah.
yes. Yeah, yeah, you can definitely make an athletics check, so go ahead and do that.
That's a 19.
Excellent. Yeah, so you are able to, like, so you're like wedged into the side of this metal wall, and you're able to like plant your feet firmly against it and like pull your hips in, so you're very close to the wall, And this is a very difficult move, but in one motion, you're able to, like, jump several feet up, take out the wrist plate, and punch it back in. So that
very
you
American
have...
Ninja Warrior. That is amazing. That is so sick. Oh, my God. Okay.
So I guess what I would like you to do... So I said you're 15 feet below the rim. I guess I would like you to roll me a d20 and tell me how...
Well, climbing just takes half your movement.
Half your movement.
It takes double movement. So, like, if I wanted to climb 15 feet, that would just use all my movement. Is that fair?
I would say, like, this is especially rough. Like, the what you have to do to accomplish this is a superhuman feat. So I'm going to say, like, you get, I'll say you get 7 feet. Yeah, just, like, 7 feet of jumping height up from where
Fine.
You started.
Fine.
But you still have, maybe we can, so we can call that your movement. You still have your action. The other things you can do.
See, I could phase walk again, but then I would have, like, no force points to do fucking anything. I guess that's not true. I can use my regular, my cantrips. Yeah, I'm just gonna phase walk again, I guess, since that doesn't get me all the way up. Let's do it. I'm gonna teleport the remaining 7 feet, I guess. To get me up.
Okay. Yeah, so you're gonna use phase walk then to get yourself up?
Yeah.
Okay. Good. So that will easily get you to the ledge. So I'm gonna say that you're able to blink up, and then I just need I'm gonna say, like, at this point, since you're close enough, like, and you're on the wall, you don't even need to get another athletics check to get back over the ledge.
I was gonna say, because I can move 30 feet with phase walk, so, like.
Yeah, so I'm gonna say that you're able to, like, phase walk yourself, like, up and, like, scramble over the ledge. And you come up on the near side to Sue and Elle's battle. And behind you is the very hurt remaining Trandoshan. And Oko's unconscious body. Great.
All right. So that was my movement and my bonus action. Yeah? So I still have an action left?
I believe so.
Great. Perfect. I would have one force point left. So how close is everyone to me? Like, I'm probably not in melee range of anyone, yeah?
You are... No, yeah, you're 15 feet away from, like, Sue and Elle's battle.
Amazing. I'm going to... This is a cantrip, believe it or not. I'm going to cast Shock at Sue, which is a ranged force attack.
Okay, so you, like, extend your hand and use this Shock cantrip. And a, like... smaller, like, more directed, thin bolt of blue lightning streaks out towards Master Sue, but before it is able to hit her, you see it be rebounded by a translucent orb of a shield that comes into existence briefly around her before the lightning is dispersed.
I don't even get to roll a hit? That's lame. Okay, fine. Whatever. All right, that's my turn, I guess.
Guess the dark side isn't all it's cracked up to be.
When your dark side powers are simply foiled by a single shield.
I mean...
I don't think it's, like, a literal shield. I think it's just immunity to lightning or something.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, it is a higher-level force casting, or higher-level force spell that she cast last session.
Gotcha. Okay.
That's when I was describing the barrier around her, yeah.
That didn't cost me anything, so we're good.
Good. Good.
It's cool. You did as much damage as I did last turn, so it's fine.
Yeah, okay. And I can just run up to her next time, so okay.
Okay, next in the initiative order is Rama.
All right, well, we are out of superiority die and everything else I can do just about. So I'm just gonna use all of my movement to fly up to the ledge next to where Akala had landed, and then just unload two more slugs at this Trandoshan.
Okay,
I'm gonna have to reload again soon, which is just great.
It's okay, we're doing so good right now, actually.
All right, that's really good. That is a 25.
Oh, damn.
That's a 12?
The 25 hits, the 12 does not.
I just want to kill this thing so bad. So let me get this straight. He's not armed anymore at all with anything.
You see him stumbling over to Oko's unconscious form with some sort of small object in his hand.
Awesome. So I can use disarming blow.
It's not a weapon, but like, yeah. I mean, if you think that you want the extra damage.
I do. And since I don't need to expend a superiority die to do it.
Oh, right. You know, yeah, might as well.
It's the only thing I can do. I'm going to end up rolling a 1 on it, and it's going to be like, oh, yeah, the usual. All right. 9 plus 5 is 14. That's 14 damage.
Okay, that's more than enough to kill.
I was about to say, the disarming blow did another 2 damage.
Yeah.
Yay. I'm picking a next class next time we do Star Wars. I'm kidding. This has been a lot of fun. Continue.
Okay. I mean, no, your disarming blows are extremely powerful, which is, I just didn't want you to waste a superiority die, but I remembered that it doesn't cost you anything. So that's all the only reason I was hesitant. You are able to absolutely kill this man. So he is stumbling over towards Oko's unconscious form, some strange object in his hand. You're able to use one bullet to shoot into his hand, essentially making him drop it. And one more in the head, and he slumps to the ground, lifeless and dead. And you see a splatter of green ichor and scales and reptilian kind of skin fly into the opposite direction as, you know, an elephant slug exits his skull.
Oh, I thought they smelled bad on the outside.
Great. So that's Rama's turn, which brings us back to L.
Okay, we're gonna just go for 3 attacks, see what happens.
Okay.
Okay. That's 1 miss. Does a 19 hit?
19 does hit.
Okay, then a 20 definitely hits. Okay, so that's... those 2 hit. I'm also going to use my last 2 force points to force empowered strikes. Add 2d8. 10 plus 10 is 20 plus 4. That's 24 energy damage.
24 energy damage. Excellent. Yeah, so you are able to retaliate against her previous strikes with several substantive blows of your own as you use your double lightsaber to whirl around her. And dart through her defenses. You are able to poke into her several times and leave shallow, piercing lightsaber birds into her abdomen. And you said you dealt how much damage for me?
24.
24. Nice. So you're able to stab her several times with some shallow cuts, and she recoils from you and does not say anything but looks angry and determined and snarls in a very animalistic way towards you.
Yeah, I think L likewise is just silent, but instead of anger, it's just like a very clear focus on what's happening at hand.
Great. Well, I think that since you are locked into this duel, she's also going to retaliate with several swings from her lightsaber, and the duel will continue.
Sure. What if you missed all of them? Wouldn't that be great? You crit, didn't you? Fuck. God damn it. Shit.
Sue crits. Like I said earlier, L's senses have been failing him steadily as the battle has worn on, and he has sustained more damage, and the more chaos and hardship that you endure, the more difficult it is to proceed. And after landing some substantive strikes, you see Sue double over and clutch her stomach and then very quickly reach out in front of her with her hand and pull you towards her. And in one swift motion, she swings her lightsaber in a diagonal direction across her body and slices off your hand and part of your head tails, dealing 14 damage.
Yeah, I'm down.
You fall to the ground and you see your lightsaber and your disconnected right hand fall to the ground nearby. You feel the most intense pain of your life before quickly losing consciousness. And next turn, you'll make death saving throws.
Cool.
Great. So now it is Akko's turn. And you just saw all of this as well. This happened right in front of you.
Yeah, maybe if you weren't spending so much time playing around in that pit, I'd still be alive right now.
Well, shit.
Well, actually, before you take your turn, like, what are you feeling in this moment? Like, what emotions and, like, thoughts cross your mind as you see, like, Elle get her hand, or his hand chopped off?
Yeah, I was thinking about that as well. I think this probably feels very similar. I think she gets that same feeling, if not, like, maybe a little duller, because it's not as intense as it was the first time, maybe, but that same feeling that she felt when Elle died the first time, felt that, like, disturbance in the Force.
So this is what happens. You see Elle fall, and the world kind of, like, slows down for you in this moment, and it feels like each second is, like, lasting an eternity as you're processing all of this. And you feel in your hand, as this happens, like, a weight that you, like, haven't really been cognizant of this entire battle. But early on in the battle, when Soul was shattered, you saw the completely round crystal, now marred by that lightning bolt scar, fly off into the room. And at some point, it has found its way back into your hand. And you see that it is swirling partially with this angry orange-red energy inside of it. But you see that it is also being swirled with this electric blue. And you realize in this moment that you have a decision to make about your future, and by extension, the future of this Kyber Crystal and the Corpus Corsanti and your entire future.
Akala, I don't know how you're feeling, but this is not the best time to lose your shit, okay? Elle's gonna be fine. We're gonna get him out of here. We're gonna kill Sue. It's gonna be better. You've trained for, I don't know how old you are. I don't do math. You've trained for years to be able to avoid losing your mind. I don't know, light side, dark side, purple side. I don't give a shit. I know that you're on the light side. I just jumped into a pit to try and save you if you fell. If Elle were still up right now, and he saw you falling into this pit, Elle would jump in to take you out. Elle would not let you fall to the dark side. Probably. You know what? It's okay. Maybe think about something else. I've seen the way he looks at you. You probably don't know this, but I think he loves you. Think about that instead. And think about what life is going to be like afterwards.
As Rama's saying all of this, you see, like, yeah, like, Akala, like, clutching this, like, round crystal in her hand, and you could, like, Rama, I'm gonna say that, like, with your thermal vision, you can see, like, the heat emanating around her palm, and, like, the different, like, swirling energy around her.
I think I'm gonna turn it off before I go blind, because yeah. It's gotta be pretty bright. I'm like, ow,
yeah.
Shit!
You, like, and you can tell, just based on how she's been acting, and the power that she's wielding, that she, like you have accurately deduced, is in a deep pit. So this is the question. Mil or Hannah, if you think that is persuasive enough to prevent Akala from sinking into despair and being lost for forever, then I'll let you make that choice.
I think Akala hears Rama's words and believes them and internalizes them and ultimately in her mind it becomes this like fight of literally like what is the stronger emotion here right now. She hears those words and feels those words that Rama said to her, but as she is staring at L on the floor, who has just been nearly chopped in half, it just takes her back to the pain that she felt. There is just an overwhelming fear of having to relive all of that pain and grief that she felt the first time Elle died. So while Rama's loving words are really strong, I think her pain is stronger. And as we all know, fear leads to anger, and that anger envelops her completely.
You uncurl your hand and crystal has settled on a deep, consistent red tone. And as you like see it, you feel the like hatred for Sue burn so bright in your chest that it just drowns out all thought and reason. And though Sol, the shield was destroyed, much like you and your previous persona as this Jedi has kind of been destroyed and now remade into something darker and a bit more sinister. Though it is not made of metal and machinery, a ghastly pale red visage of a spiked and sharp-edged shield appears as kind of a phantom spectral weapon around your left wrist and around this kyber crystal that you have corrupted. This phantom weapon has the same damage stats as Sol, you just cannot throw it. Okay. And it does not give you a boost to AC.
Okay. Yeah, I think you described everything well enough. So I'm just gonna run up to Sue and just start fucking wailing on her with Red Soul.
Great.
Let's go. That's 16 for the first hit.
That hits.
And that will also hit a 23 for the second one. And I'm also going to spend my last force point to use... I guess I can't technically use phase throw, can I?
No.
Since I'm not throwing it. Okay.
You don't have a physical weapon to throw. You can only throw the spear.
Right.
This is a very, like...
Yeah. No. I get you. Yeah. So I'm going to use my last force point to... use force empowered self double strike and add an additional kinetic combat die to the damage. That is 9 damage for the first hit.
and 10 for the second, so that's 19 damage to Sue.
Nice. Okay, so yeah, like describe this like charge that you're making like into like Sue to attack her.
Yeah, I think she's probably not even like looking at Soul whenever it like forms on her arm, this ghost soul, I guess. But she can just feel it, and so she just like eyes kind of move from L straight to Sue, and then just lock and just charge, and then wailing as hard as she can.
Got you. So like you like thrust like both Sue and like your leaf blade with a combination of strikes, like trying to very aggressively like knock away Sue from L, and through a series of like heavy like aggressive attacks, like an attacking style that you feel like you would never would have been practicing you know, days before this, but now feels all too natural. Just huge aggressive swings clashing against your lightsaber, and you are able to like backhand her essentially away with your shield, away from L's body, gaining some separation between you two.
Great.
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. Fine. Everything's fine. Everything's good. Whose turn is it? Not mine. I just went.
It's not mine. Yeah, probably you really mine. Did just go.
So is Akala. So Rama, it is your turn. So Rama, you just saw Akala high key fall to the dark side.
Yeah, like Andre, sorry, Rama. Did ignore you so hard.
You did. You did pissed. So.
You did
so hard at that speech. Thank you, Han. That means a lot. So even good. If Akala didn't listen, I'm glad that Han did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what's going through Rama's mind right now? As you see, like, Akala like conjure the shield and like fly into a rage, essentially, and start attacking Sue.
So Rama doesn't know exactly how the Force works, but he knows like there's a light side, the dark side, and red means dark side. So he knows what happened, and he's like, his first thought, selfishly, is like, "Are you fucking kidding me? Like, I just poured my heart out to you." And his second thought is like, you know. It's not like he has that big of a problem with the dark side at all. You know, they're just sides of the Force. Rama is completely neutral in every possible sense of neutral, except he likes to be good, personally. But dark side, light side, if it cuts the bad guys up, red, light, purple, blue, orange, white, it's a lightsaber.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, I see that.
But Akala, he loves Akala a lot, and Akala is not dark side, and he also knows there's a lot of pain that comes from people who switch to the dark side, and he's not about that at all. Like, if she'd always been a Sith, he'd be like, "Oh, cool, red lightsaber cut bad guy," but Akala is not a Sith Lord. She's a good Jedi that finally just made Jedi status in the temple up to being a Padawan.
Yeah, I really made it like 2 weeks there.
And and so he's like, "Oh, this is bad." And so, you know, seeing that she turned to the dark side based off of hatred too, which is probably how everyone turns, but I don't know. I'm sure there's cool Sith Lords out there. And anger that L went down.
What's a percentile like being sure about that? Like, I would say there's like maybe a 5% chance there's a really cool Sith Lord out there that's like just
so chill, but. Yeah, so I think his heart's just kind of slowly breaking, knowing how much pain Akala must be going through, because angry red lightsaber, I guess in this case red shield, Akala is not Akala, and being so upset you have a personality change sounds immensely emotionally painful.
Yeah, that's pretty insightful. Dang.
I mean, well, you know, said. That's Brennan's more eloquent way of putting it. I mean, Tarama, he sees Akala, who usually has the symbol of light, literally a sun in her wrist, see her love interest, best friend, get cut down, then get angry and turn a sharp red. You know? That's a very self-explanatory visual, but I'm glad you like my wording of it.
No, I think those into, like, the, you know, it's you saying it, but I think, like, you're thinking in your character's mind, and I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility for Rama to think that. And so what I would like you to do is just you know, between friends, I'd like you to roll me a d6.
Did you say between friends?
Yeah, just between friends, I want you to roll me a d6.
Just between bros, you know?
What the hell is a between friends role?
It's between us guys. Deep,
like 7 years between us guys. That's a 3.
Okay. Rama, you have undergone an enormous amount of emotional and personal growth since entering these caves. You've had to deal with your party members splitting up, potentially dying, falling from grace. You've slain a dragon, you've saved your friends, you've confronted a haunting memory of a dead lover, and have come out the other side of it much wiser and much more aware of the world and those around you than you were previously. So what you just rolled in that d6, I would like you to add to your wisdom stat.
Holy shit.
Just between friends.
Hot damn. Yes. What did you roll? A 3. No. Damn.
No longer will I have a negative modifier on every wisdom check in the game. Thank you, Rob. You're such a sweetheart.
Rama has earned it. And I was just inspired by both your speech and your assessment of Akala turning dark side.
So kind.
You literally stole Akala's wisdom points away.
Yeah, I think that. Yeah. Alternatively, I'm going to have to talk to you in a little bit about what your stats are going to look like going forward.
Now have an 11. My wisdom was so fucking pitiful. I now have a +0 to wisdom.
That's higher than me.
That's crazy. That is so crazy. Well, thank you. Oh, my lord. How did my intelligence became my lowest stat? That's funny. I have feelings now, but I'm still stupid. Well, thank you.
You're welcome. It is also your turn. So, however, now you having now just ascended slightly in your consciousness, how would you like to proceed?
I'm gonna, you know, God damn it, Akala, this isn't you. Can we have a back and forth? It's like, what are you thinking?
I don't like. I think it would be weird if she were to, like, stop mid-fight with Sue to talk with
me.
Mama right now.
Again. I'm just infuriating. I know you're in pain, but don't let it consume you. This is not... fuck it. I'm gonna reload the...
what I will say is that I think she probably hears you and is crying a little bit.
I also pictured Akala crying. I'm glad we're on the same page there.
Yeah.
How far away is what, 70 feet? I can't even get to you guys now. I can't even go.
So they were 70 feet before you crossed the pit, but you've moved since then. So now they're only, like 15 feet away from
you. Okay. Is there it's actually been a while since I've had to do this in D&D. What is the mechanic for stabilizing? Do I need to have a healing item?
I have a med pack on me.
Oh, you too? Oh, I would know that too, because we each got one.
Yeah.
I'm going to just, you know, God damn it, Akala, reload the slug thrower, run the 15 feet, and it's an action, right, to stabilize somebody?
Yeah, so is reloading a bonus action?
Ooh, on the akimbo thing it is. I think we decided...
Oh. Well, I think it makes sense that if it's a bonus action when you have two guns, that it would be a bonus action, because if anything, it's easier, so okay. So you can bonus action reload, use your movement to get over there, and then I'm going to say, like, it makes sense that if you're going to spend a whole action to heal and stabilize, that would encompass a free object interaction as well, so...
Got it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just, I don't think I'd get an action after all that, though, right? That's just my turn.
Well, did you take it? Did you take another action, or?
No, but I mean, if if you let me reload, run 15 feet, and stabilize, I mean, because didn't we decide it was an action to use a stim pack on somebody else?
Right. So. But if reloading is a bonus action, then you would still have your action.
No, he's saying that he's reloading as a bonus action and using the action to stabilize, using his movement to get to L, then using his action to stabilize L.
Yes.
And that's his turn.
Yes, yeah. You don't get anything else after that.
Yes. Okay, excellent.
Cool. Same thing. You guys were both saying the same thing, but like not realizing it.
Classic.
Communication error.
Okay. Do I roll the dice, or do you want to roll it, Brennan? Or do we each want to roll one?
I say we each roll one. That'd be really cute. So
it's 2d4 plus 2, yeah?
It is 2d4 plus 2. Question, would L have had a conversation with Rama of, like, where to be stabbed with a stim pack?
Because I assume it's, like, EpiPen rules, so just do the outer thigh.
Got it. But your thighs are, like, McJacked. Can I get all the way through? Like, that's a real question.
Yep, you can. Okay. Isn't that crazy? Just can.
Okay, just making sure. It's like all 3 feet of thigh muscle that
don't,
L has.
Don't ask questions that I wasn't thinking about.
The needle, like, breaks off in the thigh. Okay.
Just take the heel. don't argue against yourself.
Don't argue against me specifically. You got a one?
Yes.
I got a 3, so that's 6 HP for me.
More importantly, so do you get all 6, or does one bring you back and the other 5 are on top?
No, I just get the all of it.
Sweet. All right, Rama runs over, grabs, searches frantically through L's...
it's not hard to find. I do actively keep it in, like, an outer pocket, so it's like...
Got it. Finds the stim pack in the outer pocket, mumbling really angrily at Akala, fucking listening, grabs it and says, "God, fucking damn it, Akala." And I'm going to stab L in the thigh.
Okay. Able to stabilize L. I think that, like, so you can kind of decide what you want to do about, like, your turn, L, but these are things that I need right now. So you got a hand cut off. Mm-hmm. So first of all, I need you to roll me a d6.
5.
Okay, and you're a dexterity-based fighter, correct?
No, I'm a strength-based.
You're strength-based? Okay. Then I'm going to need you to decrease your strength by 5 for having your hand cut off.
I am mad about that.
Yeah. But, you know.
That's a lot. Oh, my God.
That's a lot.
Just for now. I mean, there's, you know, you can get that back, but you lost a fucking hand. Yeah. You have your turn now. That's basically all we need to get across. It's just like, yeah. Like, for right now, you're in really bad shape. Your lightsaber is about 10 feet away from you.
Okay. Let's see, half my movement plus 10 feet. So I have 10 feet of movement. Am I 10 feet away from the fight?
Yeah, because Akala was able to rebuff Sue from you using her shield and leaf blade.
What do I see when I see Akala and Sue fighting?
Roll me a perception check.
That's a 4.
It's difficult for you to, like, you're in a state of so much pain and, like, shock that it's difficult for you to, like, make out the movements, but all you see is, like, clashes of red and, like, purple and, like, bright sparks and, like, a cacophony of, like, lightsaber blades clashing, and you're left with the distinct impression that, the energy has gotten more sinister in this battle. But otherwise, like, you just see, like, the color of the fight happening in front of you. Which is not to say that you'll get any penalty to, like, try to hit or anything if you want to join the fight. It's just, like, for narrative reasons, it's a little bit of a blur.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I'm just gonna go up and try and hit Sue 3 times.
Okay.
My saber is a finesse weapon, so I am gonna use dexterity to hit.
Great. That's clever. Very good.
Okay. Does a 15 hit?
15 does hit.
Okay. Then all 3 of them hit.
Whoa.
lowest was a natural 11.
I'm going to say, with three attacks, I think you're probably in kill range here.
Yeah, we'll see. Okay, so that's 7 damage on the first two attacks. No, 8 damage on the first two attacks. And then another 8 on the third one. So that's 16 damage.
Okay, so 16 total. Okay, that's a lot, but she's...
Yeah, I don't have any... I don't have any force points or anything to burn.
Okay. So describe what you do to, like, join the fight with Akala here. Like, what happens as you deal these blows?
Like, my ears are ringing. Mm-hmm. You know, the head tails from Twi'leks are, like... also a sensory organ, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's probably incredibly disorienting being down one of those. I also am missing an entire fucking arm, and a lot of the way that I fight is kind of going back and forth between them. And I think it makes sense, too, using dexterity instead of strength, because kind of the whole thing with the strength fighting with the lightsaber is that you have the two hands and you're going for really, like... protracted, kind of grounded strikes, and I don't have that, but El gets on mission mode whenever he's fighting, and I think he just instinctively isn't really sure what's going on, is disoriented, but knows that Sue needs to go down, and so just grabs it with his left hand and kind of twirls it, and so instead of getting the very, like, grounded and decisive strikes, it's really just trying to connect at all and trying to keep balance without having the additional arm. And it's less of a, like, it's still not really like a fight out of anger. There's, like, definitely a frustration there, but it's also just this weariness that, like, this needs to be done. Like, you're on the going from the brink of death and back.
Yeah.
And I think with that energy, nothing has changed since he's noticed Akala at different times kind of do some weird sketch stuff. He's, like, very much just cannot even entertain any of that right now because there's a mission that needs to be accomplished. And I think that's the energy as he begins to engage with Sue, and it's just keeping his focus on that and to the ignorance of everything else.
So amazing. That's a beautiful description. I think with that in mind, as you and Akala are kind of, like, the way you describe it is, like, El is in this, like, moment of supreme high stakes focus of just, like, you have to focus on each individual movement to stay alive. And by kind of entering this, like, sort of, like, disoriented flow state, you are able to, like, have these, like, swirling precise strikes that sneak under Master Sue's guard. And you and Akala are able to get a series of blows against her as you fight in concert and are able to push her back closer towards like falling back on like a pile of bodies that you have like slowly like pressed her towards. Now it will be her turn to retaliate. She looks very like she... And that looks, like, very much cut up and is, like, struggling mightily to, like, defend herself. And it's one of those... It looks like, from an outside perspective, I guess from Rama's eyes, like, a trained combatant, like, Rama, you would see that, like, though, like, any individual hit has not been great enough to fell her, when her guard falls, it will be very clear that this battle will be over incredibly quickly. And that, like, the next... real advantage state will decide who lives and who dies. So with that in mind, it is Master Sue's turn. And I think that she will, true to form of what's happening, is going to make a lightsaber attack against each one of you to defend herself. Okay. Heads or tails?
Heads. No, wait, tails, because I have head tails. Oh, damn, wait, that's both of them. No, I'll stay with heads.
head, tails.
Which one are you choosing?
Head. I ended up with heads.
Okay, it was heads. So the Sue rolled a natural 1 and a 17. So against L, I'm going to say, since you won that coin flip, she crit failed.
The crazy thing is my AC is exactly 17, so if I had lost that coin flip, she would have just barely hit.
Oh. Yeah, it's high stakes out here, gang.
I'm having a great time.
Lost the, so, the rest seven, of the arm, the shoulder.
17's gonna hit against Akala. So this is just a D8, so she could you could get off pretty light here.
There's no addition to it?
Well, there's an addition to it, but she's not rolling like 3d6s anymore, you know.
Gotcha.
She's...
Got it.
Okay. It's going to be 6 damage to you, Akala.
All right, I'm still up, but barely.
Yeah, so like in as she's being forced back like against like this like pile of bodies behind her, she like tries to swing at UL but like slips on some blood on the ground and like a sneaker squelch slash squeak like comes out of her foot as she like lunges towards you and misses completely, but then is able to save her balance and spin around and come and strike up at you, Akala, knocking against your shield and cutting slightly into your arm, dealing some damage. Now it is going to be Akala's turn again.
Right, so everything that Mills was saying about L being like very calculated, very focused in on each move, I think Akala is the opposite of that. I think she is moving in like reckless, blind rage against Sue right now, who just killed her partner, Sol, kind of, and also struck down L, her best friend. So yeah, 2 more attack. I'm gonna use my force imbuement to as a bonus action to raise my hit roll, and then I'm gonna do 2 attacks. That is a 22 for the first hit, and
22 hits.
Yeah, and 23 for the second hit.
Excellent. 20, those both hit.
That's 9 damage total.
All right. Finish her off.
Okay. Yeah, so I think, like I said before, complete blind rage. Maybe kind of, as she's moving to hit Sue, kind of steps in front of L so she can guarantee that she gets the kill on Sue instead of L, and then goes for the neck and slices her across the neck. And I think as, I don't know if you want to narrate this at all, but as she sees Sue die, her eyes glow with satisfaction.
They do, except they are not the blue that you would expect. They are a dark golden red. Yes, you step in front of a lightsaber stroke aimed at L and parry it with your shield, and with your leaf blade slit her throat, and she slides slowly down to the floor, blood gushing from her cut arteries, and the crown of Erebus that had been possessing her falls off of her head and clatters to the ground. The purple smoke that was filling the room very quickly starts to dissipate, and the room clears. However, the Corpus Corsanti is still burning this crimson, tortured red color inside. Combat is over. Oko Valneem is unconscious. And Akala, you're still in a rage. What do you guys want to do? I mean, so L is badly damaged. So
am I. You know. I've only got 3 health left.
Are we out of initiative now?
Yes, we are out of initiative.
I'm going to call for Monkey, actually.
Okay. Do you want to?
Monkey.
And you see like a shimmer, and Monkey's like cute, like simian shaped head like comes out from the door, like, and like leans over kind of with a lot of like fear to see if there's still a battle going on, and he like sees the carnage and shrinks and starts clattering over to you, and after a few seconds he comes up to you, all three, and like kind of looks around. He looks at Rama, sees that you're safe, and gives you kind of like a ooh, and then looks at El and kind of same, looks at your arm and like shows concern and like starts looking at it, and then senses Akala and recoils around your legs, El, for a moment, and goes
yeah, monkey, do you think you can grab that crown for me?
He like very low to the ground and all fours like crawls like in a like wide arc around Akala and like grabs the crown and then starts like sprinting away from her and then opens up his chest cavity and places it into the holding container inside like in the center of his chest. And you see like for a brief moment like all of the lights and power indicators around his body like glow and expand for a second and then like shrink back down into size until he's just the normal M0 droid again.
I'm gonna start moving towards Oko.
I'm gonna start moving toward Akala.
I'm gonna start moving towards Oko faster. a lot faster. Fuck, I'm jetpacking.
if you, so just mathematically, if you jetpacked over the center of the like center pit, like you would definitely get there faster. So I'm gonna say, like, yeah, no contest. You're able to get Oko a few seconds before Akala can.
I'm gonna stand over Oko and I'm gonna hold my hand cannon, and I'm not gonna point it at her, but I'm gonna say, alright, that's enough. Battle's over. Calm down.
Rama, move out of my way.
You're not killing her. I need the bounty. I want to retire, and she will let me do that.
Rama, she was torturing children.
Okay, and killing her's not gonna untorture them, so stop moving.
She doesn't deserve to live.
Nobody gets what they deserve. That's how the galaxy works. We get what we can get, and we keep moving.
I'm gonna force push Rama.
No, you're not. Fuck.
Akala, this would, or L, this would be great.
Yeah, I'm gonna try.
I think you need to make a strength save if you're actually gonna force push him. Also, do you have like what is your force point situation looking like?
It's a cantrip, so I have 0 force points.
Oh, left, if Akala is making a move against Rama, I am going to strike Akala
with your lightsaber.
You could. You could punch her, right? Like a non-lethal damage. She's got 3 HP.
Yeah, I've got 3 HP left. You could
plus your strength.
You'd hit me pretty easy.
Roll a d4.
Yeah, my strength is shit now.
Oh yeah, wait a minute. Punch her with the good arm.
You would get me like literally if your lightsaber does the same as mine, you would get me down easy.
Yeah,
like minimal damage if you hit
me. I'm gonna cast Force Technique, and I am going to, yeah, I'm gonna cast Force Technique, and I'm just gonna punch Akala with my good arm.
All right,
sick. Roll to hit.
Do one of them have to roll to see which happens first, or am I just gonna? Is that gonna?
Do we need like roll initiative? Or
I'm gonna say that just like in the order that you guys have said this, it makes sense to me.
I see it as like I stick out my hand to do it, but then L probably gets there first.
Got it.
So
that's fair for everyone.
I have been waiting this entire goddamn session plus for one single natural 20.
My AC is low.
I finally got it.
Oh, you got it?
Oh, shit. And I finally got it. Chocolate.
This is the time to get it.
1d4 damage. That's a 3. I doubled the dice. Oh, wait. I know that already takes you out.
Yeah, that takes me out.
That is 4 damage plus, even if it didn't, you are wreathed in glowing barrier force energy, and if you willingly moved before your next turn, you would take 1d8 force damage.
Oh.
Or 2d8 force damage, so.
So how much damage was that for?
Yeah, it's 4.
All right, I'm down.
L, you, like, force empowered punch Akala square right in the jaw. Or wherever you want to hit her.
I was assuming I was right behind her, so I'm just going to, like, force punch kind of in right below the neck in between, like, the shoulder blades as just, like, a way to just kind of knock her out.
And you definitely hit that off button after all the strain that she's been through. She collapses, like, basically, like, right next to Oko. You guys need to decide how, or, like, the problems facing you now is, like, obviously this crystal is in bad shape. It is chipped. It is missing crystals from it. Likely that is where all the acolytes were getting their, like, janky kyber crystals from, was trying to chip the main crystal. It has now been, it's been decently towards the way of being converted into something more sinister through the blood ritual that Sue was doing. And so that's kind of the problems you guys are looking at right now.
So have fun thing, figuring that out.
So the first thing I'm going to infer, you know, Ram has always been neutral towards the dark side or any sort of force, just out of being a staunch pragmatic nihilist, but I think he's going to start to have the inkling that he might lean more light side after that interaction with Darkula, being like, ooh, maybe one, I don't like this, you know, abandoning all reason for the sake of revenge is not the move. So Ram is going to be like, oh my god, at Darkula, and then just internally adjust his worldview slightly after having to confront her himself. Then I'm going to turn toward L and just say, thanks for that. I doubt that felt good.
Yeah, let's just fix this.
Yeah, about that. what do we do?
Monkey, you got any idea?
Mm-hmm. And he kind of shrugs his shoulders. And as you guys are having this conversation, like, you feel like more and more like static lightning like start building up in the room, and you feel like the ground shaking more, and the crystal feels like it's pulsing more and more with energy. And both of you, still conscious, feel a chill go down your spine, and your attention is drawn towards Sue's body, and out of it, out of Sue's body, you see a swirling, somewhat green, ghastly shape take form, and from this body stands a specter of an alien species that none of you have ever seen before. It is like a dome, kind of pinhead-shaped, green skin alien with two big eyes that jut out to the side, kind of like a hammerhead shark. You can see very well-defined muscle features and a kind of royal-looking flowing tunic. And out from this body of Sue gasps the specter. Disappointing. The vessel was not strong. And it looks over towards the lying body of Akala, and very quickly you see it come floating towards you all.
Oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no.
I'm going to position myself in between Akala and this ghost.
Is there a lightsaber around near me at all?
There was like Sue's lightsaber that was falling, or actually like Oko's lightsaber is right there.
Awesome. What color is it?
Red.
I'm gonna pick up Oko's lightsaber just as a precaution, and then just lower it, then just put it onto my utility belt, lower the hand cannon at that thing, and you know what? I'm not going to ask questions. I'm a soldier. I'm going to gun it down.
Okay.
I'd like to saber throw my lightsaber at the ghost.
Awesome.
Okay, interesting. So, this is not a physical creature. So, this is how this is going to work. So, both of you rolled a hit for those, first of all.
First one.
20.
All right, a 20 and a 26.
Okay, so you both rolled really high. tell me the like feelings that you guys are feeling like as you're like confronting this ghost that is like sniffing its way kind of instinctually over towards you.
I'm gonna go first because I feel like Els is gonna be more dramatic. I'm just like, you know, I've been in this for myself for a really, really, really long time. I just wanted to go to Alderaan and quit. But I've seen a lot of weird shit, and that's about as weird as it gets. And I'm tired. I am upset that I'm losing the Akala that I knew. L is missing body parts, and I don't have usually have to think this much. Usually it's shoot and run fast. So I'm gonna just gun it down. I'm just gonna try and tune everything out and just exhale, go back to my old soldier days and just start shooting at it.
Nice. And what about you, Al?
Al is not a man of many words, generally speaking. But I think this moment where they kind of, you know, had like a second to just breathe, trying to figure out what to do, is just this whole like overwhelming realization that they're all in way over their head. And I think there's probably like tears. He's not entirely sure what's going on with Akala, but he knows that he doesn't want to lose her any more than he already has. And there's this like idea of, I don't know how to fix this crystal. I don't know how to properly save everyone from these artifacts. I don't know how to fix Akala, but if there's anything I can do to keep things from getting worse, he will do whatever it takes to give Akala a fighting chance and give the people in Coruscant a fighting chance.
Amazing. So with the resolve that you two have displayed, you make these attacks. You see your large slug exit with a plume of fire and smoke, and the lightsaber blade come and cut this specter in twain, and you see it disapparate for a second, and your lightsaber comes back, and you catch it into your hand, and you still have it illuminating out in front of you, standing over the bodies of Oko and Akala. And then the specter reappears and is guarded off slightly by your lightsaber, but it comes and hisses in your face and says, "This vessel still is weak." And then you see it, like, lunge over you and try to grab your head, and you hear footsteps. Help! Hear the door behind you get sliced in two by a double-bladed lightsaber. And through the doorway comes Kobe Cornelius and Maxi Mule and Master Oogle. And Kobe, seeing the specter once again in front of his apprentice, like so many years ago, shouts, "Back to the shadows, you foul creature!" And he reaches out his hand, and you feel like a beam of what feels like warm sunlight hit your back, and a massive amount of light, like a beam of light that could be seen from orbit, shines across you and over your bodies, and makes this spirit disapparate into the air, and it hisses and curses you, as it is, for the moment, banished away. And that is where we'll end our session.
Yeah. I can't believe every single Star Wars story has to involve a hand getting cut off.
I don't write the rules. I just gotta follow them.
I don't either. Okay, wait. Now that this happened,
I'm just a Star Wars merchant. I don't make the rules.
I'm just a little guy.
You want Star Wars, but you don't want to get your hand cut off. I mean, come on. We don't do requests like that.
So you get the sub,
you get the onions and the meatballs. We don't do no onions.